Our continued study of Derech HaLimud, we're going to take a look at what I call the Chaf HaDimyon, which Rav Adler here in his book on Lovdus, he calls it Klolei Hashva'ah. And basically to present this, whenever we find in Halacha some sort of an analogy between A and B, that A is considered like B, kib B. Like, for example, we get into the sugi of Shomea Ke'ona, then we always have to ask ourselves the following question. Does Shomea Ke'ona, or any time you equate one with another, does it mean that it's an absolute equation, meaning Al-Pidin, they have the same status? Or are we saying no, that there's a certain similarity, but it's not what we would call a perfect identity. So is it similarity, or is it identity? And what we want to do today is study about four or five sugyas where this becomes very relevant, very important. Let's say, for example, in the case of Shomea Ka'one, which we'll see is a sugya and a Tosfos in Masechta Brachos on Daf Lamed Daled, we want to know the following. When I listen to your bracha, or to your kaddish, or to your kedusha, and this is extremely relevant in the case of Kedusha, because very often I'm in the middle of my Shtil Shmon Esrei, and I want to stop and hear the Shliach Tzibur recite Kedusha. I can't answer. I can't personally interrupt my Shtil Shmon Esrei, my private Shmon Esrei with Anias Kiddush, but a Kaddish. But I meant to say Kedusha. Yeah. But I have the principle of Shomea Ka'one. So if you'll take a look here on the first page that you have, looking on the left column, you'll see the following. The question is, and the sugya is really on starts in Brachas Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, whether or not the Yachid who's in the middle of his Amidah, of his Shmon Esrei, the Tzibur is up to Kedusha. The Gemara says explicitly, we're not allowed to permit Amiras Kedusha. That would be a hefsek in the middle of Shmon Esrei, but at least would he be able to stand quietly in the middle of his Shmon Esrei. He's not being mafsik in an active way, and he could fulfill his mitzvah as far as Kedusha is concerned by applying the principle of Shomea Ka'one. And Rashi allows it, and Tosfos rejects it. We have another machlokas with regard to Shomea Ka'one, and that's in the parasha of Vidui Masrus. You know that when the Meiser is brought, there's something called Bir Meiser, to make sure that all the Meiser was delivered to its proper owner, and then he has to recite a parasha which is called Vidui Masrus, which we'll find in Kisavo. And the question is, can we allow Shomea Ka'one and apply that principle in Vidui Masrus? The Minchas Chinuch says, why not? Let's apply the universal principle Shomea Ka'one. And when you recite Vidui and I listen to your Vidui, it's as if I recited the Vidui, and therefore I could be Yotzei. But the Rambam apparently seems to assume that no, that there's no Shomea Ka'one with regard to Vidui. And in order to analyze these two issues, number one, whether or not you can quietly listen without responding b'peh to Kedusha while you're in the middle of your Shmon Esrei, and number two, whether or not you can listen to someone else's Vidui and be Yotze as if you yourself had recited the Vidui.
Are you talking about someone else, Sam, or are you talking about Kohen?
No, we're not talking about Kohenim. I don't know that the Kohen is Chayiv in Vidui, but the Yisrael is Chayiv in Vidui, and one Yisrael could listen to another Yisrael's Vidui.
That's why I asked it.
So we want to know the following. If we take this principle of Shomea Ka'one literally, that means it's an absolute equation, and it's Mamish Ka'one, then Al Pidin, when the individual is in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and he listens and quietly hears the Kedusha of the Shatz, it's as if he had recited those words, Ke'one, Ke'one Mamish.
That's what Tosfos says it's a hefsek.
Oh, and therefore Tosfos is going to say that it's a hefsek. But if on the other hand we say it's not literally Ke'one Mamish, it's just a shtika in which his Amira somehow relates to me in a way that I could be Yotzi through his Amir. It's like vicariously I'm Yotzi through his Aniya, but it's not that I am an owner. Then I'm not being mafsik b'dibur. So if I say shabekone, literally it's kedibur dummy. And if it's kedibur dummy, that's going to be a problem of hefsek. However, if it's just a principle that allows me to link up, so to speak, to be mitztaref to the other person's aniya, he's doing the aniya, not me. But I can be yotze by listening to his aniya. And if you take a look here in the next page, which is Pei Zion, he says the following. He says that we might be able to understand now the two opinions regarding Vidui Maser. Vidui Maser has to be a personal action. There's no such thing as Shlichus in Vidui Maser. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. He has to fulfill it himself. And he has to say it out loud. If you hold that Shomea Ka'ona is Ka'ona Mamish, it becomes like a Dibur, then it's as if he personally recited the Vidui, and that would be fine. If on the other hand, Shomea Ka'ona, and we emphasize the Chaf HaDimyon, means that it's not a complete absolute analogy, it's only as if he was Motzi me, and I was listening to him, but I never actually did the Maisa. Therefore, Shomer Kaon is not going to suffice in the case of Vidui Maseres, because we said that in Vidui Maseres there is no such thing as being Yotze vicariously through someone else's recitation of Vidui. He has to personally recite the Vidui. So only if I hold Kedibur Mamish, which would be the Shitas HaTosvis, then I could justify the Menachas Chinuch's conclusion that Shomer Kaon should work with regard to Vidui Maser. But if on the other hand I'm saying, like Rashi, that it's not Kedibur Mamish, but I'm Yotze through his, vicariously through his Dibur, his Aniya, but I never had the Aniya, that's not going to help me in the case of Vidui Maser, because there the Torah requires that I recite the Vidui.
Is Rashi, are they both depending, Rashi and Tosfos, depending on Arvus, we're able to say,
yeah, for sure. Shomei Kohen is based on Kol Yisrael Arim, but the question is, how far does this Arvus go? In other words, is it an exact comparison, or is it just a certain method by which I can achieve my goal as a result of your action, just by listening to you? And there's some sort of a tziruf or a relationship in which we attribute what you said as if I had said it, but it's not that I said it. Oh, David, how are you? Okay.
Is it,
do we have a copy of this for David that we could give?
Absolutely. Does that work the other way around too? Suppose the one you're listening to made a toast and he made the bracha, and it was a bracha of Atala.
Well, I don't think that that's relevant to our discussion. Meaning, if the bracha that he recited doesn't have the status of a bracha, then I don't think Shomei Ka'ona is going to work. That's going to be a different discussion, but we if we get to it today, I don't know, about Anias Amen. In Anias Amen, it could be that even if his bracha is not a bracha, my Amen is. But in the case of Shomei Ka'ona, where his bracha somehow relates to me, that's only conditional on the fact that his bracha is a meaningful bracha. So just, David, because you tuned in a little bit late, we're on the bottom of the left side of the first page. It should say, if you look towards the bottom of the page, it should say Sugyos on it. Could be the number of the page didn't come out. It's actually number Pei Zion.
Okay, it came out. It's
okay, so if you got Pei Zion, we're on the bottom left.
Okay.
And we're looking at a statement of Rav Huna in the Gemara in Brachos. Rav Huna says that if a person enters into the Beis HaKnesses and he finds that Tzibur is already up to Tefillah, they're mispalim, then if he can begin his tefillah later than the rest of the tzibur and complete it before the shliach tzibur get up to modim, so that he could listen to modim together with the tzibur, then okay, let him go ahead and daven. But if, says Rav Huna, he's so far behind that even when he gets to modim, the tzibur has long passed modim, then he should not daven. He should wait to hear Chazor Sashatz, and only afterwards he should get up and daven. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi goes a step further, and he says that it all depends on Kedusha. Forget about Modim. Can you finish your Shmon Esrei in such a way that that you'll be able to listen to Kedusha.
Say Kedusha.
To recite Kedusha. So here we have a Tosfos. Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam HaYeragil, K'shayim Espal B'Yochid, K'shachazim Agil Imodim, Hoya Korea Im HaKahal, Belo Amira Klal. In other words, he was in the middle of his Shmon Esrei, and now the Tzibur is up to Modim. He could not answer Modim, because that would be a hefsik in his tefillah. But what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to be korea. He can bow down together with the tzibur at the word modim. However, all this, says Rabbeinu Tam, applies if he's in the middle of a bracha. If he's at the end of a bracha, in other words, he's between one bracha and the other, then the law is that he's not allowed to bow down, because then it looks like his bowing is for that bracha. And no brachas, except for four, have this permission to bow down. Okay, now we're going to take a look on page Pei Ches. And he quotes a Rashi in Perek Lulav HaGozel, which is the third Perek of Sukkah. Adam HaMispal V'Shama Mipi Chazan Kaddish O Kedusha Eino Yochel LaHafzik V'Lanos Imat Zibur El Yishtok V'Yamtin Mi'at Shomer Ka'ona. Rashi says that if he's in the middle of his Shmon Esrei and the Shliach Tzibur is up to Kaddish or Kedusha, he is not allowed to respond to Kaddish or Kedusha. He can't say Yeish Mei Rabo or Kaddish or Shimcha, etc. But what he could do is he could take a little bit of a break in his Shmon Esrei. Yishtok, he's quiet, and he listens, and he's Yotzei Kaddish or Kedusha through the mechanism of Shomea Ka'ona. Rashi says, L'chatchila, the way the Gemara has it, we want to avoid that. That's not what we want. But although that's not what we want, we want to be mahadah the mitzvah, we want to make it even more beautiful, and have the person be absolutely synchronized with the Shliach Tzibur. But in event that he's not synchronized with the Shliach Tzibur, then he has this fallback position that he could be mafsik and listen carefully to the shots. And it's as if he had answered to the Kedusha of the shots. And why is that? Says Rashi, because of the principle called Shomea Ka'ona. The Adam and his Palal, etc., etc., Yishtok V'yam, the Shomea Ka'ona. So it's very good. According to Rashi, it's very cool. All I have to do is stop in the middle of my Shmon Esrei, listen to the shots, and I can be Yotzei Kedusha, or even Kaddish for that matter, through Shomea Ka'ona.
Assuming he says it loud enough, you'd hear it.
Okay. This is all according to whom? According to Rashi. But Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri, Hayu Omer D'Ad Rabbi Ish Shomea Ka'ona, Havi Afsocha Im Shosek. No, he has to continue his Shmon Esrei, because the moment he stops in the middle of Shmon Esrei to listen, then Shomea Ka'ona generates a Dibur, and that Dibur itself is a Hefsek. Rashi says no. Rashi holds that Shmiyoso, listening to someone else's Bruch, is not Kedibur, but rather there's some sort of a tziruf, as we said before, there's some sort of a linkage in which I can be Yotzei by linking up to your bracha, but I didn't recite that bracha. It's not as if I recited that bracha. It's not kedibur domi, says Rashi. Therefore, if you're in the middle of your Shmon Esrei, well, there's no problem of being Shosek and Shomea Ka'ona, according to Rashi, because that's the way the halacha operates, that you can be Yotzei by listening to someone else's bracha, but it remains his bracha. Tosus, on the other hand, holds that Shomea Ka'ona makes it into my bracha. It's as if I was Motzi B'dibur, and therefore I'm not allowed to do that in the middle of Shmon Esrei. So therefore, according to the Bali at Tosus, the best idea, in the case that the Tzibur is up to Kedusha, is to continue your Shmon Esrei. Why? Because by continuing your Shmon Esrei, you avoid a situation in which you're going to wedge into the middle of your Shmon Esrei extraneous words, the words of Kedusha, because as soon as you stop and you listen to the Shliach Tzibur, it's Ke'one Domi, and therefore they argue with the Sheet of Rashi, and you would not want to be Yotzei through Shomea Ka'ona, because that would make it into a Hefsek. Adarabah, Lushitosim in Yotzei b'tfiloso b'din Shomea Ka'ona, nechshav kehafsoka b'tfiloso. Says Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri, if he wants to listen to the shots in the middle of the Shmon Esrei and the Yotzei Kedusha by listening and applying the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, he's going to be mafsik in the middle of his tefillah. What do you mean mafsik in the middle of the tefillah? He didn't say a word. So Rabbeinu Tam learns that Shomer Ka'on is kedibur mamish. And this gives us a whole derech halima that we can apply throughout Shas. And whenever the Gemara says that X is ky, it's like Y, it has the exact same status as Y. Shomer Ka'on is one mamish. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam says, if you would stop in the middle of Shmonesi to listen to the Shliach Tzibur, it is a hefsek. And if this be the case, let's analyze the Rambam in the 11th parak of Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, where there's a mitzvah of vidui masros. And the Rambam writes, vidui ze nemar b'chol lashon, you can recite vidui in any language. She nemar v'yamartu lefnei Hashem elokecha. And that means b'chol lashon shata omer. V'chol echad v'echad omer b'fnei atzmo. Please underline those words. V'chol echad v'echad omro b'fnei atzmo. What's the Rambam adding over here? Obviously, if I'm reciting vidui, I'm reciting it b'fnei atzmo. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the Rambam means to tell you that vidui ein yotzim v'shomea ka'ona. You hear the vidui of somebody else, and you're not yotzei. Frek the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand. In all mitzvahs, all brachas, we have a principle called Shomer Ka'ona. What happened here in the case of Vidui Maisers? And the answer is that in Vidui Masros, it's a mitzvah shebegufo, which means the Torah requires you to say Vidui. Vidui is a very emotional, personal thing where you state under the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you know, God, I did what I could and I tried, you know, Sisi Kachol Asher Tzivisani. You know, we don't believe in going into a booth and confessing in a booth. You know, this is your personal confession, and no one's around, just lifnei Hashem. So the Rambam holds that in order to achieve that mitzvah of vidui, you need vidui mamash. You know, it's not enough to say shmioso, I heard it from my friend, and that's kedibur domik. No, there's no such thing as shomer ka'ona according to the Rambam with regard to vidui maser. Because you have to have this very personal, emotional experience of telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, I was capable, this is what I did, this is where I fell short, and I wasn't so capable. That's called Vidui Masros. So he says, Ein al Shmioso Toras Dibur. We don't say, according to the Rambam, that Shomea is Onemash, as if he himself expressed it. Because if that be the case, let the Mevarech recite. I'm sorry, let the misvade be yotze with someone else's vidui. Why does the Rambam say no? Kol echad v'echad omer b'fnei atzmo. The answer is because ein al shmioso chovas toras dibur. Do you have that phrase? Is everybody, you know, so I like to tell you the highlights where you should underline it. So we're in the bottom right, and you want to underline the words ein al shmioso toras dibur. That's the Rambam Shita, and that reflects the Shita of Rashi that we said he can stop in the middle of his Shmon Esrei just to listen to the Shatz's Kedusha. So now we have a principle called Vidui Masros Kosuv. There's a pasuk in the parasha Vidui Masros. It says V'yamarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. And V'yamarta tells me, kol echad v'echad omro bi'atzmo. And you're not yotze the mitzvah vidui unless you recite vidui bi'atzmo. Therefore, there's no room for shomer ka'ona, because shomer ka'ona is not toras dibur. It doesn't mean that it makes you into a medaber. Now, let's go back to the Minchas Chinuch that we mentioned earlier. The Minchas Chinuch, if you call from the previous page, was of the opinion that Shomer Ka'one applies to Vidui Maisers, and I can be Yotze vicariously by listening to his Vidui, because it's Shomer Ka'one Mamish. Halachically, it's considered as if he spoke out the words, and that's against the Rambam Shita, who says that Ein Al Shmioso Toras Dibur. So we have Rashi Shita that Yesh al Shmioso Toras Dibur, and therefore Rashi would say, I'm sorry, let me go over this one more time. We have Shitas HaMinchas Chinuch, right? The Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that shomea ka'ones ki dibur mamish, and therefore the mechastin of paskins that you could be yotzei vicariously through someone else's vili master.
But you can't be yotzei.
And that's also the sheet of Tosfos of Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam says you cannot stop in the middle of your amida to listen to the kedusha of the shatz, because then shomea ka'ones mamish ki dibur mamish, and that's already a hefsek. So that's Tosfos and the Minchas Chinuch. On the other side of the spectrum, we have Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi, who maintains that you could respond, I'm sorry, that you could be silent in the middle of Yoshmon Esri to listen to the Shatz's Kedusha, and it's considered as if you responded only because you're linking up to his recitation, but it's not your recitation, therefore it's not a Hefsek. And at the same time, we have the Shita of the Rambam, that Vidui is not subject to Shomei Kohen. Shomei Kohen is not going to work by Vidui, because it's not enough to say that I was Yotze with his Amira, I need my own personal Amira. Now if you take a look at the left column here, he has a Rambam in Hilchus Brach. So until now we saw the Rambam in Hilchas Maaseh Sheni. Now we look at the Rambam in Hilchas Brachos. And this is Perek Alef Halacha Yud Aleph. And the Rambam says that you can apply and activate the principle of Shomei Kohen without answering Amen. We mistakenly think that Shomei Kohen depends upon Amen. No, Shomei Kohen applies even without Amen. Like, I'll give you an example of what I mean. Let's say that Reuven is reciting. One second, let me just think of the case. Reuven's reciting Birchas HaShachar out loud. You know, I know Sinu Sefi Vina and so forth and so on. And you're listening to Reuven. If you're listening to Reuven, then we have a principle called Shomer Ka'ona. Because Shomer Ka'ona doesn't require that you recite Amen. You could, as long as you're a Shomer, that's what the Rambam says over here. Kol HaShomer Bracha min HaBrachos mitchilos v'yad sofa v'nizkavim lotzis b'yidei chovasa yotzaf al pi shelo ono Amen. You want to underline those words. Af al pi shelo ono Amen.
So why bother saying
Amen? So if it's a case of a bracha, I don't know if you have to say Amen. There's another halacha that, you know, if you don't respond Amen, then it looks like you're denying the bracha chasro, but that's a different thing. But as far as being yotzi the bracha, there's no need to recite Amen.
So it's not just that you potter if you can't do it, but when you can do it, you must do it.
Again, you must answer Amen, you mean?
Yeah, okay.
but for a different reason, not because of the bracha. Uh-huh. Like if you have a chi of bracha, that you know you could be yotze with someone else's bracha without amen.
Yeah.
But because of a separate chiyuv that, you know, you have to identify with the declaration that God is great and He's magnified and glorified, so you have to answer amen. But that's a separate discussion. That's not relevant to our discussion. Okay. Our discussion is about Shomei Kohen. Can I be yotze my chiyuv? Now watch what happens. I listen to the Shliach Tzibur recite all the Birchas HaShachar, and then I go ahead and make my own Birchas HaShachar. Is that okay?
Doesn't make sense.
Since Shomei Kohen doesn't even require Amen, you were yotze with his bracha, and you listened very intently to all his Birchas HaShachar, just that you came to shul a little late, so you didn't get a chance to recite the brachas yourself. Is your yotze with Shomei Kohen? And if you're yotze with Shomei Kohen, it's pointless for you to go ahead and recite your own bracha. And if it's pointless, it becomes a bracha levatola.
Yeah, but what if you didn't have kavanah to be yotze?
Oh, so the Rambam adds that you have to have kavanah. But now, what we're going to say is the following, that when you listen to the Shatz's bracha, and you haven't made the bracha yet yourself, you have to have kavanah that you're not going to have kavanah. In other words, it's not enough just to say, well, he can have kavana not to have kavana. Well, he has to have kavana not to have kavana. But if he's just listening, then he might be yotzei memela because of the principle of shomea ka'ona. And now he's going to go ahead and make his own bracha. That's not allowed. So we have here the first Rambam in on the left column here. But now I want to go into the second Rambam. He says, "V'chala ona amen achar bracha harei zekim avarech." What is the Rambam adding here? I can be yotze without the amen. Says the Rambam, but when I add amen, I'm in a whole different dimension. It's what?
It's kivarech mamish.
Exactly, harei zekim avarech. It's mamish like he made the bracha. Everything in here is in the word amen. We don't realize the power of the word amen. So the Kesef Mishnah asks the following question on the Rambam v'im Tomar. Al kochubin is kavin lotzes askinon. If you're talking about a case where he has kavana lotzes, imkain maiko mashmon bi ona amen, hafil lo ona amen, ashmila rabbeinu diyotza. Now let's see if we can appreciate the Kesef Mishnah's kasha. Okay then? The Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam is kaviyochel contradicting himself. He started by saying that you don't have to answer amen and yotzi with shomer ka'ona. Why then did the Rambam add a whole piece here that ka'ona kishona amen? If he answered amen, then he's yotze. Maiko mashmo. What do you mean? The Rambam is compelled to tell us that if he answered amen, he's yotze. The Rambam just finished saying that he doesn't have to answer amen. He's yotze through shomea kaona. The yeshlom kshim is kavein velo ona amen yotze. Okay, we don't know what that means. Let's just see what he's... Again, the words are, if he has kavana, then he can be yotze without amen. The words here are very difficult. Take a look. Kishamiskavin velo ona amen yotza. That I understand. Then what's the next word? Velo kimavarech. Aval ona amen yotza kimavarech. Ah, this is the Rambam l'shitasa. The Rambam we saw in Maisa Sheni holds like the shita of Rashi that it's not as if it's not dibur mamish. So Shomei Kohen is very powerful and far-reaching, and I can be yotze now by listening to you, but not. It's not as if I made the bracha myself. It's not ka'onim mamish. Therefore the Rambam says it's not good enough to say Shomei Kohen by Vidi Meiser. And here, therefore the Rambam wants to tell us that there's no need to respond amen. Why? Because Shomei Kohen works even as if it's not kedibur dam. But if you answer amen, I raise it to mevarech. The Rambam adds on another proviso that you can become the mevarech if you respond amen. So shomeh kona and amen, according to the Rambam, are two separate categories that operate with two separate halachas. The first category is that you were miskaven lotzeis, and therefore shomeh kona, and even though you yourself are not a medaver, you're not the onem, but nevertheless a yotzi through his recitation. Then the Rambam has another halacha called anias amen, that if you respond amen, that's as if you were the mevarech. Not that you're yotzi with his bracha, but amen is a bracha unto itself. So that's the Kesef Mishnah's answer.
It's a little strange though, because unless you're going to answer amen, but before you answered amen, you were already yotzi.
Well, again, you were yotze, but not because you were the medaber. And now you become the medaber. Oh, you're saying, if he was already yotze, how could he...
Yeah.
Let's just see what he says. Shalfiya ramam shomea lo ka'ona, amal ksha'ona is yotze gamal brach atzmo. It's as if he made the brach himself when he says, amen. Now we can distinguish between shomea ka'ona and amiras amen.
Unless he has specifically a negative kavana that he doesn't want to be yotze until he says amen, but that's the pushing it a little far.
Right. But in the case of shomea ka'ona, he's yotze even though he's not the mavarech, and then there's amiras amen. So let's just see, how does this...
Do
the question is, do we understand what the Rambam is telling us? Let's just see it one more time. That Shomei is not Ka'ona, it's not like he's Mevarech, but now that he says Omen, he's like a Mevarech. So what do we gain from this? He doesn't fear us, like what to be Menafkamina. I mean, what difference to make if I'm Yotzi without saying it or with saying it?
He holds there are two separate brachas altogether. I mean, that's hard to believe that the Rambam said there's a second bracha just so you can say Omen.
Well, I don't know what you mean by second bracha.
I mean, it sounds like there are two separate mitzvahs, so to speak. One is the mitzvah that you can be yotze with shmiya, but there's another mitzvah that you can only be yotze if you answer Amen. But what is he getting?
Maybe we should look inside. Maybe there's something here that he's missing. Okay. John, you want to trouble you for Ava? And it would be an act of Ava if you got me Sefer Ava from the Rambam.
Look at the next paragraph. You try to explain the Kesavishna.
Yeah, I read the next paragraph. It doesn't answer my question. That's why I think I need the Rambam.
Rambam
Ava, yeah. It's actually the second of the 14 books of the Rambam. It's Ava. Let's just see.
Where in Ava is it?
It's in Hilda's Brachas, Perek Alpha Aleph Yud Aleph.
Aleph Yud
Aleph. It's a very famous Rambam. I just want to see if anyone clarifies what the Rambam had in mind. Thank you. Okay, so we're opening up to Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Aleph, I'm sorry, Halacha Yud Aleph. Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph. Okay. So Rambam says, Kol Shomei Abraham and Abraham is a three about some of his coming, let's just put you today, Chavaso, Yotz Api Shalom. Kol Ha'ona Omen Acha Abraham Vim Vorech. Rushi Yav Mvarech Hayv Yotz Abraham, Hayv Vorech Hayv Yotz Abraham, Hayv Vorech Hayv Yotz Ad Sheyane, very good. So now we have enough. You see, you got to see it inside. What happens in the following scenario? The Mevarech himself is not chayav in that bracha, or alternatively, the Rambam says he's only chayav midibrei sofer. You want to listen to his bracha, and you're chayav min haTorah. So Rambam says, here's the difference. If it works, me din shomei ka'ona, and you didn't say a word, you didn't answer amen, you're not yotzei. Why? Because his bracha can't relate to you. But if he'll recite amen, and now I don't need him at all, it's as if I made the bracha, is then I can be yotzei. So imagine, I said amen to the bracha of a mevarech, which would not normally be good enough for me. I can't be yotze with his bracha. But the answer is, I'm not being yotze with his bracha. I'm being yotze with amen, because amen makes it into a bracha.
As if you said the bracha.
As if you said the bracha.
But that's the only time. And now, what about when the motzi, it can be motzi you, and what can motzi himself at the same time?
Right.
Then we still have the same kasha there. You were yotze before you answered amen.
Right, so then Amen just becomes a separate din of, you know, that whenever you hear someone's bracha, you have to show that you're...
Okay, so
it doesn't add anything. But I was wondering, why does the Rambam need to be mechadish this new principle that Amen is as if he was the Mavarach? Shomei Kona means I'm Yotz, even though I'm not the Mavarach.
Right.
So why do I have to... Why does the Rambam have to bother with this? Again, if the Rambam wants to tell me they have to recite Amen to someone else's bracha, that's one thing. But the Rambam says it's Kim Mavarach.
Right.
What does the Rambam gain by saying Kim Mavarach? And the answer is because he, the original Mavarach, doesn't have the power to be motzi me, because we don't share the same chiyuv. And now Anias Amen plays a tremendous role.
Right.
So that's what I'm missing here. You know, yes, I gotta write. You should write. You write yourself a note on the side. You know, Ayin Shamba Rambam, you know. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you won't know what the Rambam's talking about. Now, I'm thinking to myself, how does this operate in the case of a Shmua? Let's say you take an oath, and I listened to your oath. So I would say the following. Here's also another case which might be an afkamina. The Torah Shomei HaKa'onin, there's no Shomei HaKa'onin on a Shvua. But if I answer Amen, and this we know from the parish of Sota, it's as if I took the Shvua. So therefore I don't, you know, I don't have to operate within the framework, the limited framework of Shomei HaKa'onin. The only thing that bothers me is that if I say Amen to your bracha, how can I then go ahead and recite the bracha on my own? Unless I have to have kavanah shel olatzis. But that's already asking much, you know, asking the rank and file citizen that's answering Amen to. How many brachas hashachar are there? About 15?
Exactly. 10? Exactly
15. 15. So 15 brachas, and I, right? And let's say, on one bracha, you know, let's say on one occasion, I or somebody out there had kavana, and then he went ahead and made his own bracha. That's not good. Maybe the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, maybe that itself indicates that I'm not being yotze with his. I'm going to make it myself without Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo.
Right.
So it's interesting. You know, on Leil Yom Kippur, we all recite Shachiyonim together with the shots. In a low tone.
Good question.
Also, the answer to that is that the reason why the reason why I want to say it along with the Shliach Tzibur word for word is because if I wait till he finishes, then I'm yotzei with his bracha. There's no need for me to make my own bracha. So let's say, for example, in Hallel, the Shat says, "Asher Kitzchoder Mitzosus Vonel across the Hallel," or whatever your nusach is, right? As far as I didn't have a different nusach. So, if you don't read it along with the Shliach Tzibur, but rather you hear his bracha first, and how much more so if you answer Amen, which is the minhag that I saw here, then everybody was yotzei already the bracha. Now, how can they go ahead and make the bracha on their own? So, you have two choices: either you leave out Shomei HaKa'onin here, don't listen to his bracha. Or if you're going to listen to his bracha, don't go ahead and make your own bracha. I don't mind either way. But to listen to his bracha and then to go ahead and make your own bracha, how can you do that? You were yotzei ready with his bracha. Unless you had a kavanah shel olatzis. Maybe that would help. Even that I'm a little confused about. It would seem to me that exactly what we do in Shachiyonu on Leil Yom Kippur and recite it along with the shatz is what we should do every single time the shatz is making a bracha. For example,
Hallel. What about starting with Baruch Shomer?
What about Baruch Shomer? So he's going to say Baruch Shomer, and I'm listening. Yeah, but there I don't listen to his whole bracha. I only listen to the chasim. Am I right? I mean, he may scream it out. I don't know, but that's not what I'm listening to. One second, David. So, but in the case of Hallel, the Shliach Tzibur is making a complete bracha.
The first bracha.
And now if I listen and I'm yotzei with din Shomei HaKa'onin, I can't go ahead and make my own bracha. So if I'm intending to make my own bracha, what I should do is have in mind shelo lotzeis. But you know, that's a lot to ask from the whole tzibur. Same thing applies to Sfiras Home. I'm sorry, dude.
My experience is often limited as it is. I've always heard Shliach Tzibur makes the bracha from Hallel, and then the whole kehila says their own bracha.
I don't know how that works. Why? Because you already yotzei So it could be if it's Shomei HaKa'onin and you didn't answer Amen, then you didn't have kavanah lotzeis, you could go ahead and make your own bracha. But if you answered Amen, that really gets messy, because the Rambam says when you answer Amen, you're yotzei, not me did Shomei HaKa'onin, but as if you yourself were the Mavarek. He's not even sharing the same chiyuv in you, but you said Amen and you're yotzei the bracha. So if you said Amen to the Shatz's Shekhtar and Sotz Svonel across the Hallel, you're already yotzei. Don't go ahead and make your own bracha. And the same thing applies during Shechiyanu. So, I'll give you another example. What about Sfiras Omer?
Rav used to say it then bracha and have everyone say it together.
Which one?
Hallel? Hallel, yes.
Excellent. Or, for example, let's take Sfiras Omer. Do you know what the Rav's meeting was on Sfiras Omer?
Just the kind of both La Omer and Ba Omer.
Oh, right. Okay, well, I wasn't asking that. What I'm asking is, what you'll see here, and I wonder what they did in Maimonides, is you'll see the shots make the bracha, count the Omer, and then everyone will do the same. Make the bracha, right, and recite the Omer. Now, the fact that each one has to recite the Omer, that I understand. There's no Shomei Kona on the bracha itself. Lo mi boy, according to the Rambam, who says that there's no Shomei Kona on Vidui Meiser.
I think the same thing. He did the same thing. That he'd say, everyone should say the bracha together.
That's what it has to be.
But Halel and Rosh Chodesh, the better option would have been, you would have thought, yeah, is that since there's a suffix, whether you should be making the bracha or not making the bracha, that the shatz should make the bracha.
And let everyone be yotzei. That's the Rambam Shita, right, in fact, the way it works on Rosh Chodesh.
The Rambam is not the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is the shatz shouldn't even make the bracha.
No, the Rambam has the Rosh Chodesh, the shatz makes the bracha. Yeah. That'll show you inside, I believe. But everybody's yotzei with the shatz is bracha.
Right, so that makes it better. That certainly makes a lot more sense.
That's because the Rambam holds that. Rambam holds that Halal is a chovas tzibur. But okay, that's not for us now. David, do you want to ask something?
No.
So again, let me just review what's going on over here. The Rambam has a new category which is not Shomei Kona, which is called Anias Omer. But getting back to Shomei Kona, the Rambam Shita is that Shomei Kona means I'm yotzei vicariously through his.
Right.
His aniyah, but I didn't have the aniyah, and therefore the Rambam excludes it in the case of Meiser, of Vidui Meiser. And that shita is also maintained by Rashi, and therefore Rashi says in the middle of Yishmon Esri, you just stop, listen to the Shliach Tzibur's Kedusha, and you yotzei. Why? Because his aniyah relates to you, but it's not as if you recite it yourself. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the shita of the Minchas Kedushin, who says it could be yotzei through Shomei Kona Vidui Maaser, which means as if you recited the Vidui itself. And we have the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos that you can't stop in the middle of Yishmon Esri to listen to the Shatz's Kedushin, because that would be a hefsek. It's kedibur mamish. And now we go on to Hodas Baal Din Kimea Edim. I mean, again, you'll identify the Chaf Hadimyon Kimea Edim. And now we're going to ask the following question. We take this literally and assume that a person's confession in a monetary case is actually believed like two Edim, or no? We don't believe him like two Edim. That's not what it meant. But Kishne Edim, that just like two Edim have the power to force someone to pay up based on their evidence, their testimony, so too when a person is a moder, that's got the same weight of evidence as two Aden. And perhaps this is the machlokes with regard to matana. And this you'll see on page pay tests on the right side.
Is it Baal Din that is a moder?
What?
I didn't know. Baal Din that is moder, is he's Kimei Edim Dami?
Yeah.
Is he subject to Hazama?
I mean, if you say it's Kishrei Edim Dami Mamish.
That's right, the two Edim Dami.
Right, Ashi Asimo is Kulon. You need to be Mazim all the Edim. But what we're interested here is what's called a Mariya Ben Lev, quoted in the Ktsos. In Simon Choshev Mishpat Simon Chav Lamedal, and what's this all about? The Mari Ibn Lev says that Hodas Baal Din works as a hischayus. What does that mean? A hischayus. Hischayus means that I can take upon myself a chiyuv to pay you money. And even though there's no rhyme or reason as to why I have to pay for this, I never borrowed from you, but it's like a matana, I'm giving you a gift.
Yeah, but that means it's only from the time of the Hodah, and it doesn't go back to the time.
Excellent.
Of
so that's going to be the sugya in Bava Basra on Daf Lamed Gimel. Which number is that? Just one second. Which number? Okay, well, hopefully we'll get to it. If you see something, oh, here it is. Bottom left on that same page. Pay text, okay? Do you know what? Since Alan, you mentioned this, so let's skip a little bit and fast forward. What happens in the following case? I'm living on the land, and I'm eating the fruits of the land year after year and year after. Finally, you come along with a proof, a document that it's your land. Do I have to pay, or do I not have to pay? So I could have denied that document by saying you sold it to me. It was once yours or your father's, but now it's mine. But instead, what do I say? I say, Hodas Baldin. Or for example, I complicated matters. You don't even have a shtar. You don't even know anything about it. I come forward and I say that this kak belonged to your father, your great-grandfather, whoever it was. So through Hodas Baldin, I now have to fork up the land, the karka, and give it back to you, because I admit that it's yours. What about the peros? What would you say about all the fruits that he ate from this tree over the last decade? I don't know how long.
He was a modan then.
What do you mean he wasn't modan? He says this is your field. You inherited it from your great-grandfather. I'm just a no-good squatter.
But can you be modan backwards?
Well, again, you know, without getting into complications, I'm just asking for your intuitive response to this question. Okay. Should he have to pay peros?
Intuitively, yes.
Yes, for sure. Again, this reminds us a little bit of a discussion we had yesterday.
Right, exactly.
Oh, about Rabbi Tarfon. You know, Rabbi Tarfon Shita, that even though we're going to go to Mafreya, but it doesn't have any impact on that time period itself.
Right.
And therefore, the mikvah, as far as that tummy went in on Monday, is kosher because of the cheskes of mikvah.
Right.
And that's why the avod of the chol is kshayim fine. But getting back to our subject for today, there seems to be an inconsistency here, because you're telling me on the one hand that we believe him, like Meir Eidim Domi, when he confesses that this is not his land, but for the last 10 years he's been sitting on someone else's land. So if you believe him, then you have to, once you accept the story, then the implication of that story is that he's been eating someone else's fruits for the last 10 years. He has to pay for that.
But that apostle is Hodad, and then because they know that makes him a Russia.
No, not Russia. Let's say he this, he that, he thought there was no, whatever the case may be. We're not dealing with Rishus here. So what's the logic of Tosfos when he says in Bava Basra, based on the sugya there, again, that's the sugya of Ravidi Barovin, I think, that it says over there that he's only chayav to give the karka back to its owner, but he doesn't have to pay for payers. But logically, they're interdependent. They're hob ha'talia. If it's his karka, then it was his payers. You have to pay back for payers. So we have episode new halacha that Hodas Baldin is only chal from now and onwards, but not l'mafreya.
Yeah.
That can't be Avis. That can't be two witnesses. Two witnesses. For example, let's go back to the scoreboard. Two witnesses testify that Reuven has been eating off the field of Shimon for the last 10 years. What's the deal in such a case?
He has to pay back.
He's got to pay for 10 years worth of payers. He's a god.
Shimon didn't complain after 3 years, doesn't he?
Okay. So let's say it was 2 years. Yeah. I don't want to get into all the details, because we'll get to, derailed. But assuming he was out of town or whatever my case, or it was less than 3 years, then in that case, the Eidim would certainly be mechayev not only to disown him from the property and give it back to its rightful owner, but they would also be mechayev him in all the payers of those years that he exploited the field. But in the case of Hodas Baldin, that's not Eidim. It's Kishnayim Eidim Domi, means we're going to pass him based on his credibility. But the credibility is only to create some sort of a din of Hodah that's chal now and on. Let's see how he says it here. Oh, if you take a look on page Tzadi for a second, again, don't lose your place on Pei Tes, because we're still on Pei Tes. So he says the following. Actually, on the bottom of Pei Tes, before we turn the page to Tzadi, three lines up, he says, Omalei lehedeli peri. So the, once Rav Idi Bar Ovin was moded to the original Marakama, so the Marakama turns to him and says to him, Rav Idi, fork over the peris that you've been eating for all this time. So now we look on Daf Tzadi, and it says that Hadar Avchizda came in the Odi, meaning he was only mowed on the karka. So the Rashbam says, Zeshom Shahoda Alachius Peris Hare Lo Hoda El Alakarka. We can't make him pay for what he ate until this point. What do you mean leka ate him bedover? Rabbi Yehuda himself was moda, and Eldas Paldinus Kameya ate him dumb. The answer is Eldas Paldinus Lav Kameya ate him dumb. It's Kameya ate him dumb, but it's not Meya ate him manch. And now we get back to the Maria Ben Leib, which is the first paragraph here on Pei Tes, and it's called Sif Aleph. On the right side, on the top. And he says that Hodas Baldin Kamei Eidim Dov is Midin Matana. It's as if I gave you a gift. What does that mean? I can be Mischayev to give you something from now on, even though in truth there's no reason why I have to pay you this. I just self-accepted a debt. And that's what Hodas Baldin Kamei Eidim Dov is all about. And he says the imno gea posel mishum karov and kain lechov amay nemon ha karov posel bein l'schus bein lechova. So what is Mari Ben Leib saying over here? The halacha is that in Hilchas Eidus, someone who has negias, he has personal vested interests, he's not allowed to testify. In this country, it doesn't work like that. You know who I'm talking about. My friend YL, you know what I'm saying? He's the main witness and also the main beneficiary of the testimony. But in halacha, if you're going to gain something from your witness, right, you're a nogea, and a nogea v'dover is posuliatus. And why is that so? Because Adam karvates a latzmo, just like a karv is posuliatus, so you're posuliatus for yourself. If that be the case, then in Hilchas Eidus, even Lechov you shouldn't be believed. Because halacha is that when we passel someone as a Karov for Eidus, it doesn't matter whether he's testifying on behalf of his relative or on behalf of the litigant who's suing his relative. It doesn't matter which side of the fence he's on. In other words, an Eid passel is passel bein l'schus and bein l'chov. So how is it possible that Odas Baldin Kamei Eidim could work me in Eidus? He's an Ogei Avedov because Adam Karvei Tzalatzmo, and he's Pasul. And even Lechova is Pasul. There must be a new category called Toras Hischaivus. It's a new Matana that he's giving to his friend. And he could be Mechaiv himself, even though he's not Chaiv at all. Who disagrees with Rabbi Mari Ibn Leib? The Ketzos himself. And he brings an unbelievably sharp raya. The Gemara says that Hodas Baldin is even greater than Eidim. Just one second. What's the case here? If he was Modav Mitzataina, he has to take a shvu in the second half. Is Lotahe Hodas Baldin Gdola Me'odas Eidim? I don't know. Just one second. I might need a Gemara Bava Metzia. Let's see if we can do it without the Gemara. He was Modu Mixataina. And now he has to take a shvu on the second half, on the part that he denied. Ah, here's the case. David, you're learning this, no? Or you are learning?
I was
learning. So let me ask you this, if you possibly remember, maybe you could refresh my memory. If, let's say, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me 100, and Shimon denies it, I don't owe you a red cent. Now two witnesses come in and testify that Shimon owes Reuven 50, half. So I think this is maybe Reb Chia, I don't remember right this second, and he says, for sure you would have to take a shvu on the other half. Why? Because Madach, in the case of Odas Peh, if he had confessed to the 50, he would certainly have to take a shvu on the other 50, that's called Modu Mitzatani Shava. How much more so in the case where the Eidim testified on 50, he has to take a shvu on the other remaining 50. So basically, Rabosa, you see that the Gemara is analyzing Hodas Piv from the perspective of Ne'amonus. If it's a separate halach of Matana, then the whole framework of the Gemara makes no sense. The Gemara is looking at the claim of the Tovea. Well, what's that called in English? The defendant and what's
the name?
The plaintiff. Oh. From the perspective of the plaintiff, and the plaintiff somehow is already established his supported his claim on half of his claim, and therefore he can demand the shvuah on the other half. And the Gemara is now saying, well, what difference does it make whether it was a hodas piv on the half, which is the Torah, the biblical explicit case of shvuas modu mitzas, or it was two edim who testified on half. But the very equation means that Odas Valtin is working within the same framework, meaning just like Odas Valtin and Adam are both achieving the same goal, namely we've supported the claim of the plaintiff at least on half of his claim, and that gives him a certain power and a certain chashivus on his claim that now he can demand the shvuah on the other half. But if you're going to tell me like the Ma'ariv and Leib that Odas Valtin is a psadu aloch of matana. So I was mischayev to matana. What does that have to do with Avis? The Gemara wants to make a jump, an analogy here between Hodas Baldin, that should be mechayev mishru on the other half, and Avis should be mechayev mishru on the other half. So it means that the Gemara is assuming that Hodas Baldin and Avis are really one and the same. And the Gemara is saying, well, what's the difference between establishing half of Reuven's claim against Shimon based on his Shimon's Hodah, or establishing that claim based on two Avis? It's all the same. It must be it's min bimino, it's the same ilk. But if you go like the Ma'ariv and Leib, then he's giving him a matana. If you take a look, it's about five lines up from the bottom on the right column. Do you have it? He says, I'm a lobitaris nemanus, if you can all like the Ma'ariv and Leib, that the halacha of Moda of Hodas Baldin is midin nemanus. Is that's not then? There's no equation here to Adus.
So then, what does it mean by Adus?
So Mea Be'eda means that just like you're a Mischayah for a Matana, and you have to deliver the goods, it's like 100 Adim testify that you're chayav to give this gift, but it always remains a gift. Yeah, David.
If I say I'm going to give you a gift and then I don't, am I over anything? I don't think
no,
so.
No, but only in the case of Hodas Baldin. Hodas Baldin is like a schayrus with a kinyan. Mm-hmm. That's normally if I say I'll give you a gift of X, Y, whatever it means, then I need a kinyan. Kinyan means a sudar. Mm-hmm. And that clinches the schayrus. Here, in the fact that he made this claim in front of Beis Din, that itself is like a kinyan, according to Mari Ibn Leiv.
What's the Beishprach of the mayor? What's wrong with two?
Why does he have to say Kidmea Edim?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, now we have the Nafkamina whether or not Odas Baldin works on Afreya. Or it only works mikano lahava, and that too is going to depend upon this chakira. If we're saying it's a brand new matana, so I gave you matana now. I didn't give you a matana yesterday. But if on the other hand it's just clarifying the reality, then you go with mafreya. So he has a machlokas here in the Beis Shmuel in Evidence of Siman Lamed Ches is in the left column. Yesh machlokas moda poelis lechay mikano lagaba. Ulahaba mishas hauda. Oshin is chayv l'mafreya bizman she mitzayin behoda also. Okay, so again, if we're going to say that kimeya edim means that we believe him like we believe 100 edim, then we have to go l'mafreya. The Kabbalah says, "Man shu mitzayin ki ilu shomo so vipi edim regilu mechayv l'mafreya." Avol im mefarshim kali al hashva b'derek she'eno miluli ella. It's ki ilu shnei edim. That's only like a new matana, like we said before, the name of the Mari Ibn Leib, and that's not Chal Lamafreya. Okay, then we spoke about the character Shal Yerush. Oh, next, on page Tzadi, Toch Kidei Dibur, Kid Dibur Dom. We have to move at the speed of light because I have to let you go. Right? And the question is, what does it mean, Kid Dibur Dom? I have a little bit of time after I finish my Dibur to add or subtract. And is that period of time as if it's all part of my original Dibur? And that's what he calls Miluli. Kid Dibur Mamish, we take it literally. And it means that my Dibur continues until after Toch Kedei Dibur, but within Toch Kedei Dibur, my Dibur is considered ongoing. Or should we say number two, Lo Miluli, don't take it literally, but it means that the Halacha gives you a right to Lahashlim Pu'ula, to add or subtract to your Pu'ula. And there's a certain time period called Toch Kedei Dibur, and that's when they allotted you the ability to change your mind and realize that you got involved in a bad deal. So he says that's the machlokus here between the Ramban and other Rishonim in Baba Basra Kuf Chav Tes Amud Beis on the bottom right of your page. Between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam, I should say, that what's the actual logic behind Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami? Rabbeinu Tam says, Mipnei Shepa'amim Shatalmid Mocher Okone V'im Over Rabo Olov I'efshe Shlo Yitein Lo Sholom U'mishum Takonis Ashuk Tiknu Shlo Yafsid Bekach. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it seems that he's not taking Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami literally, because he's saying that this was a kind of an institution, a Takonis Chazal. Because at some point he may have to stop in the middle of what he's doing in order to give shalom to his Rebbe who's passing by, and they'll take a loss. What does he mean he'll take a loss? Let me just work this out again.
Because that's after Shalom
Rabbi,
and he's not talking to the Dibur anymore.
Right, and the Hefsid is what? That he really wants to get out of the deal. Is
whatever,
that
whatever whatever he wanted to do, he had the right to do it.
And he forfeits that right because his Rebbe passed him.
Yeah, but does that mean
gave him a right. So you see, it's not he did, give him a little time to finish what he has to say. It was a special takana to facilitate a Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Umori without having to cause him a loss.
Right, exactly.
And I would even go a step further. I would say, according to this Rabbeinu Tam, maybe Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur is based on Yesh Kof Yad Chachomin, the Didi Mominus.
Yeah.
B'tzarech Lomar, he says, She'im Lefi Aklal Toch Kedei Dibur Yesh Li'onim S'chus Lachso L'scharet Al Amir Zu O Al Maisa is Ein Kesher ben klal zel ben afsokas kriyat shma kedei lishol b'sholom rabo b'nei akovid b'nei yira. It would seem that the Ramban is not excited about this Rabbeinu Tam, if I understand it correctly, because the source for this halacha of Toch Kedei Dibur is Kriyat Shema. So it makes sense that in Kriyat Shema you want to give him the opportunity to stop and give Shalom to his Rebbe, but that has no connection to Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Notice it's very strange, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the original Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami is based on Allah in Kriyat Shema, that you're allowed to stop in the middle of Kriyat Shema to give Shalom to your Rebbe. That has no connection to all the cases of Tokei Deidiva Kedivra Dami. L'chein Pirei Shitas HaRav Av Bezdin Tzorch Lomar Shetokei Deidiva Mahav Al Pi Din Zman Katan B'Yoser.
B'Yoser. It's pretty
liberal
statement.
Which is Yoser. Mahave, Alpidin Hazman Akatan Yoser, Hazman Adorish Lamiras Tokhele Divur. Okay. So again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, clearly, Tokhele Divur Kedivur Dami is a new schus that they're giving him to facilitate his responding to his Rebbe, but it's not that he's still in the process of finishing his Dibur. See, I don't exactly understand the nafkamina here between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. It seems like it's a conceptual machlokas. Because either it's that the Chacham gave you his chus of Tokei Deidiva for Chazara in order to avoid Hefzed, or it's that you haven't completed what you meant to say, so to speak. We give a person every person has to have a little bit of time, a short amount of time after he finishes his Deidiva to sort of collect his thoughts. You know, he wasn't all prepared, all thought out before he started speaking. But I don't understand the nafkamina between the two. So for that, I guess we'll... Because I see it's getting late. So look, Rabosai, if you could possibly... I know this is an ideal. Hold on to these pages and make a note on page Tzadi that we're up to the second column where it says V'tzarech Lomar. And I think if we start this off with a fresh, you know, a fresh week... Next week, we'll be able to figure out this machlok between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. So let me take this opportunity wishing everyone a great day, and thank you so much. Thank you.